Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Innallaha ya'murukum an tu'addul amanati ila ahliha. Wa qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la imana liman la amanata lah wa la dina liman la ahda lah. Sadaqallahu al-azim wa sadaqa rasuluhu an-nabiyul karim. ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A very important quality that every single believer needs to have, every Muslim needs to have, is this concept and the quality of amanat dari, trustworthiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs each and every believer in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Each and every believer is instructed in the Quran Kareem that you are required to fulfill your amanat and your trusts and fulfill them to the rightful people that they are required to be fulfilled to. And Anas radiallahu anhu has emphasized that how often Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would share this instruction and this injunction with the Sahaba. He says, قَلَّمَا خَطَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That very rarely would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give us a khutbah. Very rarely would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite a speech. Very rarely would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give a bayan. Except that he would say these words, لَا إِيمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا أَمَانَةَ لَهُ. That there is no true and complete iman for that person who does not fulfill his amanah. For that person who is not trustworthy. And he would say, وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا أَهْدَ لَهُ. And there is no deen for the one who does not keep his promises. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizing regularly, very rarely would a khutbah be given wherein he does not mention these words sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. What was the occasion upon which this ayat was revealed? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into Makkah. Conquering Makkah. As the conqueror of Makkah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks up to the Kaaba Sharif. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is with him. Standing in front of the doors of the Kaaba is Uthman bin Talha. Uthman bin Talha was the one who was in charge of the keys to the entrance of the Kaaba. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu tells him that take that key and hand it over to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uthman bin Talha, who was not yet a Muslim at that time, he says, if I believed that this was the Prophet, then I would not have been standing and blocking the way. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu becomes angry. And Uthman bin Talha, it is mentioned, he climbs to the roof of the Kaaba to get away from this. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu climbs up behind him and forcefully takes that key away from him. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu opens the Kaaba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters. The idols are destroyed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs his 2 rakat salah in the Kaaba. As he is leaving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down wahi to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wahi that is sent at that time upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That Allah is instructing you to fulfill the amanah, to return the trust to its rightful owner and to its rightful recipient. At that moment, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls Uthman bin Talha, the same one who stopped Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from entering the Kaaba. Can you imagine at that moment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquering Makkah, he was stopped from entering. That person, at that point, how many people, the ego would come in the way of accepting this instruction. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turns, he calls Uthman bin Talha. He hands this key of the Kaaba over to Uthman bin Talha and he says, خُذُوهَا يَا بَنِي أَبِي طَلْحَ خَالِدَةً تَالِدَةً. That take this key, O Abu Talha, and keep it forever and eternally. That forever and ever this key would now be yours to keep. Up till today, if we go to Makkah and we have to find the key bearer to the Kaaba, it is a descendant of Uthman bin Talha. a descendant from the tribe of Uthman bin Talha up till today. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him that this is an amana, it has been returned to you and it will remain in your progeny until the day of Qiyamah. So my respected brothers and elders, we have amana, a trust that is given to us. What is an amana? It is a trust that is given to us that we are expected to protect it, to use it correctly and to return its rights. This is an amana. An amana, when it is given to us, it is not ours to use as we please. But it comes with its own rights and responsibilities. So we have rights that are given to us, amana that is placed upon us by human beings. And we have an important amana, amanat and trust that are placed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we are going to focus on this, the amanat and the trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us. As believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed certain amanat upon us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, the entire ummah and the entire mankind will be gathered before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن خمس. That the entirety of mankind, no person will take one step forward on the day of Qiyamah until they are questioned regarding five things. On their life and how they spent it. On their bodies and how they used it. On their knowledge and what they did with it. And on their wealth. But the wealth, there would be two questions attributed to wealth. How he earned it and how he spent it. Each and every aspect, my respected brothers and elders, is an amana and a trust that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This very life that we are living, we have no control over this life. We did not create our life. And nor can we extend our life more than the moments that have been prescribed of our lives. This life is not ours. But this life was given to us as an amana. It was entrusted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictates how we use this life and what we are allowed and not allowed to do in this life. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. That do not go and throw yourself into destruction by your own hands. You are not allowed to harm your own body. You are not allowed to take your own life. You are not allowed to bring destruction to your own life. Why? Because this life does not belong to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us with this life. But my respected brothers and elders, there's an important thing that we need to understand in here. That what is the amana of life? Is it that I look after it and I care for it and I don't bring any destruction to it at all? No. The amana is not life and death. The amana is, do I use it according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed me, or do I use it according to my own desires? This is the question. The question is not a question of life and death. Because we said that Allah instructed that you are not allowed to cause destruction to your own body. You are not allowed to bring harm to your own body, to your own life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse is saying that do not think that those who have been killed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That they are alive and you cannot perceive their life. So on the one hand, Allah is saying you are not allowed to bring destruction to yourself. But on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those who have given their life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has given them such honor and such distinction in the Quran. So what is the question here? The question is, this amanat of life, am I using it for my own desires, or am I using it according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed me? The Sahaba, they gave their lives for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They gave their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not thrown away. It was not thrown away. That a person can bring destruction to himself, that is throwing his life away. But if he takes his life and gives his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that life is a life of honor. That life is a life of honor. Each and every aspect that has been mentioned in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that insan will be questioned about. Why? Because it is an amana that has been entrusted to you. My respected brothers and elders, our wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with wealth. Whatever amounts it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed each and every person with this amana of his wealth. And on the day of Qiyamah, each and every person will be questioned, how did you earn it and how did you spend it? We look in history, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran regarding the wealthiest individual of the Bani Israel, Qarun. Qarun was the wealthiest from amongst the Bani Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his wealth to us. How wealthy was he? وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ وَلِلْقُوَةِ. He was given so much of wealth that to carry the keys to his treasure, the people that were his servants were struggling just to carry the key to his treasure. Not the treasure itself, but just to carry the key to his treasure. That is how much of wealth Qarun was blessed with. He was not a believer. He did not believe in Allah. So an important lesson for us, that does excessive wealth mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person? No. Because this is an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was the wealthiest of the people of that time. So when Musa alayhi salam comes to Qarun, and he instructs him that follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spend your wealth in a way, in a manner that will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will achieve the pleasure and the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he says, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. He becomes arrogant, and he doesn't acknowledge the trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted him with. He says, I earn this wealth because of my own knowledge, because of my own skill, because of my own ability. I am the one who worked for this wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes this quality so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَبْدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the earth. Qarun and his entire household was followed by the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes this concept of I, of ana, of me. Everything needs to be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba, they understood this. We see on so many occasions, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, what did they hold back from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They would often compete with each other to see who can give more in the path of Allah. The famous incident in the Battle of Tabuk, where Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, you know, every expedition Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has given more than me. But today, I'm going to surpass him. Today, I'm going to give more than him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he comes, he gathers half of everything he owns, and he comes and he puts it at the disposal of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That for this expedition of Tabuk, half of everything I own, I am giving. And today, I am certain that I will surpass Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he comes, he gives what he needs to give to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, O Umar, what have you left for your family? He says, I have left half of what I own for them. He says, O Abu Bakr, what have you left for your family? He says, I have left Allah and His Rasul for my family. Meaning that every single thing he owned, he came and left it at the disposal of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first individual to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Hijrah, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Medina, there is a need to build a masjid. There is a need for a masjid. So they identify a land. This land is owned by two orphans. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he tells Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to purchase this land so that the masjid can be built on it. The first individual to spend in the path of deen, the first person to spend in the path of Islam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he purchases this land. My respected brothers and elders, this masjid here is under construction. I came, Morana informed me today that this masjid is under construction. It's so befitting to this topic that we are talking about, that an opportunity is here before us, that contribute. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that all of the actions, all of the rewards of my ummah were presented to me. It was shown to me the rewards of all the good deeds and the actions of my ummah. And to the point that that deed of that person who entered the masjid and picked up a speck of dirt from the masjid, even that was shown to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't consider anything to be small or insignificant. Don't consider anything to be little. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man bana lillahi masjidan. Whoever builds a masjid for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَمِفْحَسِ قَطَاتٍ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes it in this way in the hadith. Even if it is the size of the nest of a bird, even if it is the size of a nest, how insignificant, how small, how weak the nest of a bird is. But even if it is that small, that size, بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, Allah will build a house for him in Jannah. So my respected brothers and elders, how we spent our wealth, how we earned our wealth, this is at amana. And we will be questioned about this. We have this opportunity in front of us, then let us contribute in whatever way we can. If we do not have the wealth and the money, then with our energy, with our time, with our effort, in some way let us come forward and contribute towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers and elders, each and everything that we look at, the children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, children is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today people are leaving their children to do whatever they want to do. Do whatever you please, he must make his own decision and he must make his own decision. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Every one of you is a shepherd and every shepherd will be questioned regarding his flock. Each and every person is responsible for the tarbiyah, for the upbringing, for the deen and the iman of his family and his children. We should take special care and we should be certain that we are working towards the upbringing and the tarbiyah of our children. Respected brothers and elders, we look at all of these different amanat and this trust leadership. People in positions of leadership today are destroying this amana and this trust of leadership that has been placed upon them. When we look to the past, Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, on one occasion he is seen at the time of Zawal walking along the banks of the river. The Sahaba come to him, they ask him, in dripping with perspiration, tiredness, at this time everybody is in their houses, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, what are you doing on the banks of the river out at this time? He says, one of the camels of Baytul Mal has escaped. I am now looking for this camel of Baytul Mal. He says, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, why don't you instruct somebody else to go and look for it? It is at this time, oh wait a little bit later. Wait till the sun goes down, when it is cooler, then you can go and look for it. Why are you doing this to yourself at this moment? He says, who else will be questioned about this but Umar on the day of Qiyamah? This was the amanat dari. This was the concern that these great leaders had. Who are we talking about, my respected brothers and elders? We are talking about people who are promised Jannah. Who are promised Jannah. These are people who during their lifetime, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed that they would reach Jannah. What guarantee do we have? But we take these things for granted. My respected brothers and elders, the greatest amana, the most important amana that comes upon insan and mankind, it is this trust and this amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed and offered to every one of his creation. But every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. Every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected this amana. Allah says in the Quran, Inna aradna al-amanata ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibali fa'abayna an yahmilnaha. We presented this amana ala as-samawati, to the skies, wal-ardi, to the earth, wal-jibali, and to the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا. They refused to carry this weight of this trust. وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا. And they were fearful of it. They turned away from it. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. But only insan from all the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore the weight of this immense trust. What is this trust? What is this amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on the shoulders of insan? That is Deenullah. Islam. The religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on the shoulders of insan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was given his instruction, Ya ayyuhal rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbi. O messenger of Allah, convey what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Convey the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of Allah, what effort and sacrifice did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go through to fulfill this amana and this trust? Was it a life of luxury? No. Nabi of Allah, the most beloved servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that being who some ulama mention, the reason why the entire heavens and the earth was created for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did he come here and go through this life of luxury and comfort? He came to this dunya for 23 years of nubuwa. He suffered and sacrificed for this amana and this trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon him. What challenges did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam go through? Besides Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anh, every single child of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was buried by his own hands. Just for spreading this message of Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's entire family was boycotted. The entire family was boycotted. It is mentioned until their droppings became like the droppings of sheep and goats because they had no food to eat. What challenge and sacrifice did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam go through? We are well aware of the incident of Taif. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes to instruct the people of Taif to believe in Allah, and they let out the hooligans and their children to stone him, to pelt him and to strike him. He reaches the end, bleeding so much that his shoes are covered and soaked in blood. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is going through the sacrifice in this dunya, in this world. The angels cannot take it. They come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says that I am the angel of the mountains. I will take one mountain and the other mountain on either side of Taif and I will crush the people of this place if you give me the instruction. But what is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's concern? Rahmatan lil alameen. The mercy unto mankind. He understands his mission. He understands his purpose. His dua and his response. Allahumma ihdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people. They do not know. Guide my people. They do not know. My respected brothers and elders, up until the plains of Arafah, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing in Hajjatul Wada, and in front of him 100,000 sahaba, 100,000 Muslims in front of him, and he summons all of them and he asks them, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to question me. Allah is going to ask me, did I fulfill my mission? Did I do my duty? He says, O sahaba, O believers, Allah hal ballaghtu, have I conveyed? Have I fulfilled this instruction? Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. He says, O my people, ala hal ballaghtu, have I conveyed? Every one of them raises their hands and say, O Nabi of Allah, you have fulfilled your mission. You have conveyed the message. You have passed the message. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his hands to the sky. He says, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. O Allah, you bear witness. Allah, you bear witness that these 100,000 people in front of me have testified that I have conveyed the message. I have fulfilled the message. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an important instruction to the sahaba that فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدَ الْغَائِبِ, that whoever is present here today, they must now take this message and spread it to those who are absent today. Take this message and spread it to those who are absent. My respected brothers and elders, the sahaba, they took this message and they spread it to the four corners of the world. In whatever capacity that they were in, whatever way you can, if you are in business, then through your business. If you are doing work, then through your work. Through your character, through your akhlaq, through your dealings with people. But convey the message. Fulfill this command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon insan. And the instruction that was given to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, the proof of this is that the sahaba, they loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They loved Medina. Every one of us makes dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be buried in Medina, to pass away in Medina. But if we look at the sahaba, how many of the sahaba are actually buried in Medina? Majority of the sahaba are buried out of Medina. Why? It wasn't that they didn't love Medina. They all wished to pass away in Medina. They all wanted to be in Medina. But this instruction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held precedence. Take the instruction of Nabi. One is the command and one is the love. The command supersedes the love. The command of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and spread the message of Islam through your work, through your business, through your actions, through your akhlaq, in whatever way, spread Islam through the four corners of the world. My respected brothers and elders, today here in South Africa, this masjid, we are here, we are full. Who do we have to thank for this? The efforts of the sahaba, the efforts of the akabirin, of the elders, of the pious predecessors who took this message and who fulfilled this message. My respected brothers and elders, today this important mission comes upon our shoulders. That in whatever capacity we can, we need to spread this message of Islam. We need to spread the message of deen. We need to continue and uphold this instruction of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With that in mind, this is the purpose that we have come to Durban. We are a group of ulama that have come from Pietermaritzburg for the 8th, 9th and 10th of next month of August. There will be the ijtima that is taking place in Pietermaritzburg. And this is the purpose to revive this importance of this mission, to revive the importance of this work, to revive the importance of this effort in the hearts of every single person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to attend. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.